And good evening and welcome along to the Radio City Legends for a Monday night. Fortunately, Thomas Bjorn didn't pick either of our legends for his European team, so they're here and they're fighting fit. We've got John Aldridge in the red corner, Graham Sharp in the blue corner. And was there no Scots in the Ryder Cup side, Sharp? Is that right? That's just come to me all of a sudden. What's happened to Scottish golf?
Fed up carrying us for so long.
Oh, maybe there was a couple of caddies there. I don't think there was there? Were you boys engaged with it yesterday?
Yeah.
3 days.
Yeah, three days.
Yeah, loved it. It's the best
sporting event ever.
To watch it is, you know, yeah. It's just tremendous. It really is. And we'd like golf, obviously, Sharp, he's a great, really good golfer and played a lot more than me, a lot longer than me. It's just impulsive viewing.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I didn't fancy it. I just thought they'd be too strong, but they're big ones. Mickelson was poor. Tiger Woods wasn't himself.
He never is the one.
I don't think he likes that team.
Three times he's played.
I don't think he likes that team ethic kind of thing. I think he wants to play on his own kind of thing. And listen, absolutely delighted for them. Tommy Fleetwood, local lad, was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
okay, lost his last game quite heavily, but he was brilliant. Well, it was a great spectacle.
Superb to watch, wasn't it? And it's the only sort of golf event where it's acceptable to be a little rowdy. Overboard,
yeah,
isn't it?
I think that's Americans.
It's just a bit of revenge in it, you know, because the Americans go a little bit overboard over there, so the Europeans done it a little bit. But it was all.
Did you see that great bit at the end where John Rahm beat Tiger and he went ballistic, and then all of a sudden he thought, I better turn around and be really gracious in front of him.
Yeah, very passionate. There was some great passionate moments from the golfers, which is good to see. You know?
All right, great golf, great boxing as well. Well done to Callum Smith for his success
absolutely
on Friday night.
Tremendous! What a boxing family that is.
Another world champion,
amazing,
of course. As you say, all four Smith brothers, superb. What great people in our city.
Yeah, the city should be so proud of that family, you know, what they've done for boxing in this city. You know, absolutely magnificent.
Okay, our football team's doing the same as well. A win for Everton.
Yeah, it's all right.
Liverpool with a draw.
Yeah.
Who wants to start? Who had the better talking points?
Well, talking points. Everton won at home. It was a must win for me. I just thought that first half wasn't great. One shot of goal, I think it was Walcott, the keeper saved it. They hit the bar. The boy Sessegnon maybe should have done better and scored. Second half was a lot better, came out, obviously get the penalty early on, missed that, and you're thinking, hold on, here we go. But you know, I thought second half they deserved it. They were better on the front foot more. But even in saying that, Steve, I talked about at the end of the game, clean sheet, most important thing. But honestly, 1-0, we have a free kick or a corner, I think, I can't remember what it was. They clear it, all of a sudden it's 3-1. And you're thinking, what's going on here? Who's organising this? They were breaking 3-1. It was only at the very end when the boy had a little bit of a heavy touch, it allowed Pickford to come out and smother at his feet. That was a crucial moment. Then we went up the park and scored again. But comfortable in the end. But
is it tough when you miss a penalty? Sort of, Guilfi did really well, didn't he? Because he smashed against the bar, but then he comes back and scores. Do you think there's a real psychological problem for strikers sometimes if you miss?
Yeah, but it shows character as well, Steve. Yeah. You know, sometimes you can deflate you. Mm. But, you know, he wanted to make it. And the first goal was a super goal, great finish.
So, listen, 3 points, the most important thing. Game tomorrow, be interested to see what he does.
Will that be a full game for Bernard? Because I tell you what, for a little man, he showed a great bit of magic, didn't he? Have you seen it, John?
He's a player. Yeah. No, he looks like a really good player, doesn't he?
But the only thing I would say, and I'm sure Colin and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's important. We talk about teams, you know, in Manchester United, you know, you've got to take this serious. We can't afford to make that many changes. It'll be interesting to see what Southampton do there on the bad result again at the weekend, whether they make changes. But for me, we've got to be careful. You know, I think, you know, Baines was a substitute. He might play instead of Dania, who I think has been very, very good recently. And he might make one or two others, but I don't think he can afford to make an awful lot.
You wouldn't do eight like Liverpool?
No.
A different squad, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for Everton, as you say. You know, United's out, we're out. You know, you get yourself in there. Who's the draw the next one? If you get through, obviously.
Oh, that's a good shout. I forgot all about that. I'll wait till Leicester.
Yeah, that's a toughie, but again, it's doable. And then you're in the quarters, aren't you?
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. But I think if you'd ask the punters, they would say go strong.
All right. And Cenk Tosun, finally a goal for him.
Yeah, good.
Got a good piece of space.
Yeah,
and
delighted for him. Good cross from Walcott, good header. Hopefully that's him up and running now. Only time will tell. Does he start tomorrow? Let's wait and see.
Give us your thoughts. 4720967, Radio City Legends, 4720967. And for Liverpool, what a strike, Daniel Sturridge.
Oh, dear me.
He's only played like that for 90 minutes.
That's what he's all about. I think this year, you're looking at a different Daniel Sturridge. He's leaner. He's more mentally stronger. He's not getting, touch wood, he's not getting injuries as he did pick up all the time. I think the experience he had at West Brom, he's seen things from the other side, you know, goes to
what, scared him?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's seen, you know, the quality of players they had, they were going down, they were struggling, the crowd were quiet, and everything's gone. And then he gets injured and he thought, what am I doing here, by the way? Mm-hmm. You know, Liverpool come. So he's getting the summary, you know, and he's not in the World Cup squad. So, you know, it's given him a motivational weapon, you know, to prove people wrong and get back on the scene. And he's doing it well. You know, he scored, I think it's 3 or 4 goals this year. He's hardly played. Mm-hmm. You know,
is he on top scorer? He is.
So that's quite remarkable to see. But he's, that goal was just ridiculous. But he nearly done it in the week in the Carabao Cup. Exactly the same spot. He's seen the goalie slightly off his line and he hit the ball. It's a great effort. And for the last minute in time, for someone to look at that, know what he wanted to do and execute it in the way he did, was just stunning. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant football that was, you know, from his brain to obviously the audacity of sticking it right where no one could get it.
Being able
brilliant.
To do it.
John's spot on. You know, and I think there is no doubting that he's a fabulous player. Mm. There's no doubt that he showed that in the past. The thing that's blighted him has been his injuries. You know, if he'd have stayed fit, you'd have been still raving about him. He wouldn't have gone to West Brom. He'd have still been in a Liverpool team. But it was the fact that, you know, when people say that Klopp's the way his style doesn't suit him, but that's taken nothing away from him, talent-wise. You know, he's a really talented player. And it's just didn't go right from because of the injuries and people writing him off, and quite rightly so. But I think John's spot on. I think he's gone to West Brom and thought, what am I doing here? I'm better than this. And I'll tell you what, I was speaking to somebody the weekend about this. I think he would struggle if he played for a team outside the top six. I think he's got fantastic ability. I think he's a fantastic player. But I think to get the best out of him, he plays in the top six. I think if he drops down, I think you don't see the best of him. I think
you're talking about motivation, you're talking about class players around you.
Yeah, both. Yeah. I think both. I think if he plays in the top six side, I think everybody would say, wow, what a fantastic player, what a great player, week in, week out, fantastic. I think he's went to West Brom, it hasn't worked out for him. You know, he didn't enjoy it. Mm. He said to himself, what am I playing with here? He's gone back to Liverpool, he's got the players around him now. Listen, there's no doubting the boy's got unbelievable talent.
Just be frustrating for him. Yeah. For him also, but for the fans as well. You know, we've been really frustrated with him as well. You know, and when he didn't get an injury, it's not his fault. Yeah. You know, it's injuries, whatever it is. People say mentally strong and all. But all of a sudden, you know, and by the way, he looks lean. Mm. You know, he's lost, you know, his body weight must be right down to very little now, but he looks lean and mean. And as long as he stays fit, he'd be a big part of Liverpool's season. He could be a real big part. Because last year, remember, just going back to the Cup final, the European Cup final, we had nothing on the bench. Nothing to change the game whatsoever. And now we've got Shaqiri, who came on, should have scored and changed the game, Mr. Sitter. But at least he got in there. And then Sturridge goes on and Keita goes on. All of a sudden, he's got players on the bench that are much better quality than we had last year. So he's built on that.
Going to make a difference. Right, it's 20-7. Radio City Legends from Monday night. Let's take some of your calls. 0151 4720967. We're starting with the Blues. So a second win recorded in the Premier League. Let's have a chat with Gary and Kirby. Evening, Gary.
All right, lads. You all right?
Hello, Gary.
All right, mate. Graham. Just looking at the start of the season, Not the greatest, as in strike force, and I think we're short of a quality striker. Mm. But you look at the teams that we've played against who have got strikers, and that's where our problems. We played Arsenal, they've got strikers. We played West Ham, they've got a good striker there, and now to produce a handful. But that's what we're going to be lacking. And I'm saying, November, December, if we get them lads who we've bought in fifth, get them a few games in, January, I think our priority needs to be striker game, because other than that, I can just see us win one, lose one, win one, draw one, win one, lose two. You know, it looks that way if we don't get a striker, mate.
Gary, I've said that before. I think that's the way we're going to have to strengthen in January. The big thing is, you know, is there any about in January? We've had it before. I think we had Jelovic in for a short time when he came down from Rangers, and you know, he hit the ground running and was good for us, you know, for a short space of time. I think at January, you've got to be careful, you know, with the contracts and everything else. Is there anybody out there that you bring in? I agree with you. I think that's the one area where we need to strengthen. I thought Tosin came on, scored the goal. It'll be interesting to see how the reaction is from him. You know, hopefully he goes on a little spell now, a little run where he starts scoring goals. But I agree with you. I think the manager will look at it and think, yeah, Dominic Calvert-Lewin is just a young lad. Umar Nias, is he going to be there long term? I'm not sure. But no, I agree with you. I think that's one area in the pitch I think we need to need strengthen. We're a little bit weak at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the lads who are playing at the moment, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, for all the life of me, you know, he tries, but the quality at the end, when you get that half a chance, you need to make that into a full chance and do it.
Yeah.
Toussaint, I think I've said I don't think he'll score more than 8 goals this season, but I think he'll score between 5 and 8.
Right.
And I mean, we took Lukaku out, obviously 24 goals, goes out your team. There's a massive fallback on that. I don't think Davis at the moment is probably strong enough to take us forward and score goals from midfield as well. I like Silva. I think he's got the right the mentality, and I think he's got the right style that'll make us a decent team. But I think going forward, I'm saying November, December, I think we might have a bit of style and maybe we can sort of knit a team together. Back four-wise, I'd like Mina to sort of to be dominant and Keane and Jagielka to sort of be rotating between them or fit in there.
I thought Zuma did well. I thought the two centre-backs did well on Saturday. Okay, they're up against Mitrovic, who can be a handful, but I thought they handled them pretty well. You know, so I think, you know, Zuma, Keane are doing well at this moment in time. Obviously, Mina, when he comes back, you'd expect him to come in there, Jagielka to back up. So I think you're right. In all those areas, you know, we're looking quite strong. It is a central one up that you need to have a goal scorer to at least get over 15 goals. You talked about Lukaku and you're spot on there, Gary, but, you know, I think overall, I think we're not bad, but it'll be interesting to see when everybody's fit, what the manager does. Does he change the formation? Does he go for 3 centre-backs? Does he go for a flat 4? So there's a lot of promise here, and I think people have got to remember, it's early stages. It's not going to be a miracle worker overnight. You know, you've got to remember the massive of those players have worked under the last 3 managers. This manager's got to come in, have a look at it. He's already done that, brought players in when he thinks he can strengthen. It'll take time, and I think people have just got to realise that. But certainly I agree with your first point that, you know, the strikers on the set. Very quickly, Gary, before you go, what would you do tomorrow? Would you go strong?
Definitely, without a doubt. I just want us to go strong in all games, I'll be honest with you, I do.
Yeah.
But go stronger and let's get a togetherness and let's get a little run going. But I go strong all the way, because once you start weakening it and then you got to change it against that, people will start saying, oh, these are the games where you need to set your stall out and say, right, we're going to be strong and this is the way we're going to play. I think he's going to go 3 centre-backs game.
Right.
I think that's the way forward for us, the players that he's bought. I think that's 3 centre-backs going forward, definitely.
Gary, thank you very much indeed. Super stuff.
Cheers,
first caller on the Radio City Legends, 4720967. So go strong. I was having this conversation with Jimmy Case at the weekend, John, and he was saying he said to me, why are Liverpool changing any players? Can they not just play their best 11?
Yeah.
Can they not play the best 11 in the Carabao Cup,
who's in the red zone,
the Premier League, and then go to Napoli and play their best 11?
It's just because we used to do that, didn't we?
Yeah.
We used to do that.
So what difference would it make now if they did do that?
It's just the philosophy of the managers, isn't it? The way
is
you
it?
Think.
Are they just giving people a chance? Or?
Like what we would do, I think there's a lot of emphasis on training now. You know, the build-up of games, you know, the preparation. In our day, we'd rather play than train. all day long. We played on a Tuesday, you'd have Wednesday off. And if we played on a Saturday, you'd have only a light Thursday, wouldn't you? And a light Friday, you know, getting ready for the next game, wouldn't you? Instead of now, like, they go full pelt in training, you know.
I think if you ask players, genuinely, how long does it take them to get over it? It takes them a while. They talk about the game being faster now and quicker, whether they agree with that or not. But they do say, you know, you need downtime because, as John says, they're working extremely hard.
So they can't cope with 2-3 games in a week.
That's probably what the sports scientists are saying.
Yeah, I think because it takes it, and it's obviously the older you get as well, you know, the longer it takes you to recover. Like Milner's incredible. He's a freak of nature, the way he recovers and plays all the time, kind of thing. But I think in our day where we wanted to play rather than train, and the more games you play, the more successful you are. But I think if Liverpool are involved in the league, the Champions League, and then the League Cup or whatever. No, I can understand it there. But for Everton, who are involved in the league and no European competition, I think that's another reason for me to say go strong.
You go for silverware, get to Wembley, absolutely chop your spot on there.
Good answer. If you've got a thought on any of that, give us a shout, 01514720967. We're going to take a short break. After that on the Radio City Legends, we're going to catch up with an old mate of yours because he's got a new book out. So that's Brucey Grobbelaar.
Okay.
So we thought we'd give a plug to the book. You've had one or two duels with the man himself,
Bruce,
haven't you?
Very good. Yeah.
Easy to score against?
Wait till he comes on.
Back in a moment or two. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, Radio City Legends. And it's 10 to 7, Radio City Legends. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp. We will get hold of Bruce Grobbelaar in a moment or two.
It's not like him to be caught out. He's here, is it?
He might be out of his penalty area at the moment. We didn't mention Mo Salah before. I know you were talking about other aspects of Liverpool's game. Where is in his head?
Don't know.
At the moment,
there's something wrong somewhere.
There's some bits that are very right, though, aren't there?
Yeah. Oh, obviously, he's still working his socks off, you know, he's still getting into positions. But then, you know, the execution's not great, is it? You know, it's not really good. And he's getting frustrated with himself. I don't know whether sometimes it could be a personal problem. You just don't know because something's hampering him. I know he started last season off not great. But you know, he was hitting more targets. He was.
Stats are virtually the same.
I know, yeah.
That was on match of the day, wasn't it?
Yeah, not much difference. So hopefully, you know, I don't know, but it just doesn't look right, you know. And, you know, when the cameras went on to him, when the substitution came, Shaqiri, he looked like a bit like, you know, the rabbit in headlights type of thing. He looked really that. I don't know, it was strange when I looked at him. I just hope he can get it sorted, and the manager will help him, obviously. And he'll play him the week, and they'll play him against Manchester City. You've got to. And the worrying part for me a little bit is, you know, we've done really well, but the front three are not clicking. They haven't clicked all season for whatever reason. And if we are to sustain a challenge to Man City, we need them to click somewhere along the line and keep on going. You know, at the moment it's not happening. Hopefully, you know, it'll start this week.
Well, Jurgen Klopp made the point about Mo Salah. He was saying he needs to just be a little bit. My interpretation was that Mo needed to be a little bit more selfish that way. He said he'd gone from sort of one extreme to maybe trying to pass it. There was the point where he tried to get it over to Firmino.
He's getting stuck, you know, in his head because you might be reading about the things people are trying to put one on one together and getting three with him and Mane not passing. You know, there was a couple of times he passed when probably he should have let one go. But I think it also hurt him because the first two shots he had, the first shot was very tame. Mm-hmm. The second one went the roof of the stand. And then I think he lost a little bit of confidence in himself, and that's where he's looking to pass. And that's what happens.
That's probably what it is, a little bit of lack of confidence. You know, but as you said, his stats are very similar to last year. You know, sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens. The expectations on you, Sal's going to get the next season the way he was, and he's this and that. And all of a sudden, your performances dip a little bit. I wouldn't say there's anything to worry about. It happens. It's human nature. It happens. Whether it be the beginning of the season, the end of the season, midway through, you usually have a spell where it's just not happening for you.
Yeah.
So I've been worried.
It'll all come good. Let's talk with Kev, who's a Liverpool fan. It's the Radio City Legends. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp. Evening to you, Kev.
Evening, boys.
Hi, Kev.
Hello, Kev.
Okay, John, just about the team for on the Wednesday, John, for the weekend. I think you should just go with the same team that he played against Chelsea. Because,
there won't be many changes, Kev.
You don't need to be many changes.
No, I don't think there'll be many, mate. I think Keita might come in. I think he might give him 90 minutes.
And who's the natural replacement for?
Milner's played a lot of games, you know, he might give him a rest. I don't know, it'd be the same back four, I'd imagine, the same goalkeeper.
Looking at City, John, they've got to play a full team there, more or less, against Tottenham, because they already lost four. They can't afford to lose any more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, they will.
Have to put a good team out against Tottenham. They're no pushovers, so you don't want that embarrassing five on the bounce defeat, is it?
Well, the one thing with them, Kev, they're under a massive pressure to do well in the Champions League. You know, so it's all right winning the league, the Premiership, what they've done with the money they've spent, they've monopolised it, haven't they? It's monopoly money. I've got the best coach in the world, apparently, and the rest is history. But the next step, you know, these people in the Far East, they want the Champions League, you know, and to lose the first game straight away, they're under pressure, thankfully. Yep. So he knows they've got to go to Tottenham and at least get a draw or get a win. I think he'll win there, to be quite honest. But he can't tinker with the squad and take any chances there. And then down the line, we just got to look at what's ahead this week. But as we're talking about on this, Stephen Sharpie, about, you know, play. He's got to go strong, the manager, in Italy. He's got to go strong, which he will. And then, you know, Man City on the back of that, do the same against Manchester City. He might freshen it up in one or two areas, but the only areas you can freshen it up is possibly, you know, centre half, but I can't see him messing about with the partnership of Joe Gomez and Van Dijk and centre mid. But he played the three lads up front all day long. I'm pretty sure he'll start them, and then Sturridge and Shaqiri will obviously come on some part.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that team would have been good enough to have gone out and done the business against Napoli, you know. But you know, and just sort of keep them back, because I say, for me, Salah's just not doing it at the moment. But
no, he's not. But what would you do then? Would you leave Salah out for the midweek game and put Sturridge in?
No, he's not doing it, but he's just you know, I think it's just a confidence issue with him.
Yeah, well, we just said about that. What about the Sturridge situation? You know, he warrants a game in many ways because he's our top scorer coming off the bench. I personally would leave it as it is. I'd leave the front three, you know, even though Sturridge has been brilliant. And some people might say he warrants a place instead of one of them, which might be the case. What do you think?
No, for me, no, all day long. Yeah. I know, you know, at the end of the day, he just hasn't got the work rate and the thing for me.
Good point.
He's become a bit of a David Fairclough now, isn't he? But I think he's best, you know, left to, you know, substitute for the moment, and then certain games, Huddersfield maybe, then give them a run out, you know what I mean?
Good point, mate.
I think the team pretty much picks itself, doesn't it?
To be fair, with the Champions League, I'm looking, you know, at the next stage, and to give ourselves a fighting chance of, you know, doing what we did last year, you've got to try and finish top of the group, you know. You don't want to be playing no massive big teams, you know, in the last 16. And this is a game that, you know, you can't mess up. You know, we've got to try and finish above Paris Saint-Germain, and give us a much better chance of getting to the quarters or the semis.
Kev, nice thoughts. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah. Thanks for giving the Radio City Legends a ring. 0151 472 0967. What do you make of the keeper's performance, Alisson, at the weekend?
I was just going to say something very quick before that. How do you think Manny's done?
He's a bit erratic, you know. He done well. The goalkeeper pulled off a great save from him. You have to say, down to his right. It was a really good effort from him when he jinked inside the box. But he's not pulled up any trees. Mm. You know, he's done all right.
I think that the focus is on Salah. I'm seeing Manny as well. I don't think Manny, quite rightly said, pulling up any trees as well. So,
or Firmino to that extent as well. The three of them, you know, looking at the season so far, you'd have to say, if you're marking them out of 10, you have to say probably 6-6-6. Something like that. You know, it's not been great. You know, they've got to step it up a gear.
One man who'd do a good job of keeping them at bay is Bruce Grobbelaar. Let's have a chat with him now. He'd know how to stop those three, wouldn't he?
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Evening to you, Bruce. Have we got Bruce? Evening, Bruce.
Good evening, then.
Hi, Bruce.
Blue, how are you, mate?
And John, how are you?
I'm all right, pal. You all right?
Very well.
Good man.
Well, what do we make of the progress of the keeper? Alisson, arguably, had his best Liverpool performance, or demonstrated what he's about, didn't he?
I thought he was excellent. Well, Bruce will tell you what you reckon, Bruce.
Listen,
The keeper did very, very well on Saturday. He came out and he spread himself very well. And when I was watching him coming one-on-one with Hazard, he waited for Hazard just to push that ball forward, and he came out very quickly, stood up and made himself big, which got us the two saves that he made. And he was very, very good. But I was quite disappointed on the goal that Hazard scored. Hazard went to his left and he just put it back from where Alisson was came from. And his legs were so far apart. I thought, hey, you can never get a spring or a dive anywhere with the legs that wide.
Yeah, it's funny because I looked at it. I was doing the commentary for LFC TV, and I said it might be nitpicking here a little bit, but I just thought he overcovered the knee post slightly. And he got his fingers to it, Bruce, didn't he? You know, but it was you got to give credit to it. It was a great strike. It was really clinical. Bang, in you go. And he done it nice and early, which the goalkeepers don't like. But that's an interesting point you make there. Interesting point.
Hazard was brilliant when he went because he watched Alisson coming across to his near post, and he hit it at the right time.
Yeah,
I think Alisson was anticipating it going near, and he got foxed on that one. But he got his fingertips to the ball. He's going to be very disappointed on that.
Yeah.
So we'll wait and see, because he came out and he actually made some great saves after that.
The two most expensive goalkeepers in British football on the pitch. Bruce, was that once?
You could see. Yeah.
It was?
It was, yeah, that's right.
Both of them are fantastic keepers. And, we had to pull a worldie out. And who did it? From the ex-player Sturridge, who looked up, saw where the keeper was and curled the one in the top corner.
I
was disappointed with that goalkeeping because he went with the wrong hand.
He's a hard guy, isn't he?
I tell you what, Bruce, two goalkeepers wouldn't have saved that one, making the goal.
Right.
Well, you don't know. If he had gone with his left hand, he might have got higher.
Yeah. We'll get back to the football in just one second, because I've got something to announce that's just been handed to me, and you guys can have a guess at this. So we know that Anfield's going to be the destination for some concerts, don't we? They've got a license now for a number of concerts.
I have just
been given the go-ahead to announce one of the first gigs. So what band is going to be playing at Anfield?
I would say Paul McCartney.
No.
Things, no.
Oasis.
No, Bruce. Oasis. Bruce, go on, you throw one in there. You throw one in there. Who do you reckon, Bruce?
You'd say Oasis. Not a chance.
Bruce, who would you like to see at Anfield?
Chris Springsteen.
No. They're from Manchester.
Stone Roses.
Atomic Kitten.
They're from Warrington.
They're from Manchester, and the lead singer is a massive Liverpool fan.
It's the Stone Roses, I don't know.
No, they play that at Old James. Trafford, don't they? No.
Go on, tell us.
All right, it's Take That.
Oh, Take That,
the first gig to be announced at Anfield. Yeah. Take That. We're announcing exclusively first. Now, the date is Thursday, the 6th of June.
I'm putting my order in for some tickets.
Yeah?
Thursday, 6th of June.
Thursday, 6th of
Bruce,
June,
Bruce, we'll all go there and have a few beers, mate. 6th
of June?
Yeah.
Like a bit of Take That.
I might be still in the vehicle coming through Africa, driving from South Africa to Anfield.
Why? Right. We did get Bruce on to talk about his brand new book, which is an incredible autobiography as well, Life in a Jungle. If you've not got your hands on it, have a look at it. It's absolutely superb. Does Sharpie get a mention in the book, Bruce?
Sharpie gets a few.
Oh, good man, Bruce.
Come on, dig out a story
positive.
We used to have ding-dong battles against each other. Remember, we used to stand there in the tunnel and say, today I'm going to get you. And I'd say, no, I'm going to get you.
Did you used to threaten
Bruce? Yeah, I didn't used to threaten him. I said you get the better of him today.
Yeah.
Did you deliver?
I'm going to have you today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll.
Yeah, we had a few battles.
You're on the far post then.
That's it, mate. That's it.
I mean, of all the keepers you played against, go on, tell me about Bruce's style and how you found coming up against him.
Brilliant. Very, very athletic. You know, came for everything. Good shot stopper.
You liked the fight with him, though, did you?
There was not a physical fight. God, there's only going to be one winner there, isn't there? Flipping it. Yeah, but no, it was a different class.
It was a fight on the day, and the better man got the better of each other on the day because Sharpie scored some brilliant goals against the keepers. I remember the 1-0 the 1-0 defeat that we had at Anfield, and you scored this unbelievable goal at Anfield.
The volley.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I had to stay home for the rest of the week because if I went out, the Evertonians were going to give me a knock. And yeah, well, and yeah. If I went out, even the Liverpool fans were giving me some stick. So I stayed home.
But even seeing that, Bruce, I remember that the save he pulled off from me in the cup final with a header.
Yeah.
So
but that wasn't a volley.
No, it was a header. No, it was a header from about 20 yards, if I remember
it
right.
It was a beauty.
Yeah, good save.
Do you remember when I played against you for Newport County at Crewe, Bruce, your first game?
Yes.
And I nutmegged you for the first goal, didn't I?
I know.
It's the only time you ever did it. I couldn't do it in training.
You nutmegged him?
Yeah, at the edge of the box. He came rushing out like and just...
Did you?
That's not in the book, I take it, Bruce. Is there a good John Aldridge story in there?
I kept that one out for sure.
come on, tell us, where does John enter the book?
Older.
Yeah.
He's in there somewhere.
Somewhere. Your great mate. It's probably a story about going out.
So when's
out
the book
boozing.
Out?
The book's out last week.
No, good.
Yeah,
good.
And it's very, very good.
It's a great headline.
Life in a
Life in a Jungle.
Well, yeah, life
that's
is
typical Brewster.
Listen, you come out of school. School's the jungle. Then you come out and you go into the army. That's the jungle.
You're actually
in the jungle. You come out of that into a football jungle, and then you come over to Britain and okay, you're trying to get into the football world. This type, and that was a jungle trying to fight.
It's just very apt.
Life is a jungle.
Yeah, no, absolutely, mate, yeah.
Bruce, thank you very much for your company. Best luck with the book.
See you Sunday, Bruce.
Cheers, Bruce.
At the game Sunday, yeah.
And we shall see you.
I'll see you Sunday, pal.
Take care. Yes.
Cheers, Bruce. Yeah,
thank you very much, indeed.
Right, top man.
Bruce Grobbelaar.
Great story about Bruce. We were away in London on a Friday night. We had our pre-match on a Friday night before the Saturday game, whatever it is. And Bruce, there was a telephone rang. And we all, Bruce went to the phone. When someone was on the phone or whatever, some lads used to say, shh, listen, to try and catch him out or take the mick out or something. And Bruce said, them allegations are wrong. And when I get to know who the alligators are, I'll let them. A lot of things just rolled down a typical Bruce. I don't know what he meant to say that or what. Do you come out with brilliant?
Alligators. Right, I did say I'd mention for him, he's having a party to celebrate the release of the book, and that will be at the Hilton Hotel in Liverpool on October the 7th. So that's not far away, is it? That's just 6 days
that's
away.
That's the weekend, isn't it?
That's just after the City game, actually.
After the City game,
Sunday
right?
night. And it's an African night.
Oh, so hopefully get an invite.
Bit of African dinner put on there. Yeah. Bruce has chosen the menu.
Brilliant.
Alligator. Yeah. Might be on it. You get to have a chat with him as well and hear about his life. So if you do want tickets for that, tickets at Ticket Quarter. And that is the Hilton Hotel.
I think there'll be a few ex-players there as well. Yeah, I think.
Could be a good night, couldn't it? He's funny, isn't he?
Oh, that's great, man.
8 minutes past 7 o'clock, Radio City Legends. Murray calls next, 0151 4720967. Good evening. Radio City Legends, time for a bit of pens.
Oh.
So one thing people tend to talk to me about when they talk about this show, they go, did you hear that question that Sharpie answered like that? So clearly, there
Dom
are punters out there questioning.
No, Dominic
What's
won that.
Your
no.
pedigree.
Oh, did Dom win one,
did
he?
Won, yeah. The last one.
He was very good, John.
Was he?
No, he wasn't.
Properly took out Sharpie.
He was lucky.
Yeah, Derby win there. What are we on? I don't know how many the Reds have won and the Blues have won. Okay, that's... Stuck into this. 3-1
to Everton, yeah.
Hold on a minute. I've won one. So if Dom's won one.
That doesn't count.
Oh, does it?
No, it's just you.
You're winning 3-1,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was just
2-1. No, 3-1.
Are
you
sure about that?
That 1-1 when you were away.
John, fight for your points. Fight for your points. Come on. Do you see that? He was going to say it's fine if he took Dom's point, but not the other one.
Yeah. I know. I thought it was 2-1 anyway. Go on, I trust you. Go on.
All right, where are we going, Sharpie?
Yeah.
I'll go 5.
Number 5. Right, let's have a look at this. We've got Mystery Voice. Meant to mix these up, producer Christian. We've gone the same again. Right, here's the first mystery voice. If you don't get this, you're a dimwit.
Oh. Part of a six-man team or a 12-man team.
Tommy Fleetwood.
No, you sure you want another go?
No, Tommy Fleetwood.
You look at that.
John Aubrey's in a great position, and Liverpool have scored in their first attack.
Sorry, that's, I pressed the wrong button, but gimme, that was a correct one, yeah.
That was a gimme, that Sharpie, wasn't it? Even I knew that one.
John.
You've got to go six now.
I've got to go six, yeah.
You
yeah.
see, you'll hate this.
Oh.
I think this is really unfair. I don't know what Christian's playing at. There's not a chance John Aldridge gets this.
Go on.
As I said, I think that Manchester United in the last year lost...
Easy!
What? Okay, play that again.
As I said, I think that Manchester United in the last year lost...
Easy!
His identity.
Jobby, stop talking over him! I did that on purpose!
There is no way that is as easy as Tommy
That's
Fleetwood.
Easy.
Here we go.
As I said, I think that Manchester United in the last year lost his identity.
All right, do you want me to put the timer on, John?
Guess it's the Chelsea manager, the new Chelsea manager.
What? Sorry.
Don't jump into it. What do you think?
He just said it.
Yeah, sorry.
It's
yeah.
Not,
it's
oh,
he's in the bar again, old dog. He looks like he's had a good go at the Buffy as well.
Did you hear that one?
I like that one. Is that Ancelotti? Yeah. It's,
Carlo
yeah,
Ancelotti.
It's close, though, wasn't it? It was close.
Nearly.
Put
a cross next year.
Go on, I'll go to Steve.
Okay, number two. On the 4th of April, 2018... which player became the youngest Englishman to start a Champions League quarter-final game? 4th of April, 2018, which player became the youngest Englishman ever to start a Champions League quarter-final game?
Alexander-Arnold.
Sorry, who'd you say, Sharp?
Alexander-Arnold.
Lovely first touch, right-footed volley. Brilliant goal by Graham Shaw.
That might be
first
funny.
First cut to the Blues down at the Anfield Road end. And an absolute classic from Graham Shaw.
Have you pre-planned this? Is this a Mickey taking me? What?
You're sat next to Christian. Give him the elbow.
It's game over.
Right, OK. Go on.
Right, I'll go number four.
All right. It's Pens on Radio City. And Wayne Rooney scored a hat-trick on his Manchester United debut. Against which club?
Yeah.
Was it Fenerbahce?
Oh, yeah. Oh, give him a few clues.
Or Besiktas? What do you mean? I didn't give him a clue then.
You just said you to just, yeah.
Was it Fenerbahce, Galatasaray, or Besiktas?
Fenerbahce.
What a goal!
What a guess!
Honestly, I despair sometimes, but go on. Sharpie, for the win.
Well, mate.
Number one.
Okay. Oh, this is shambolically easy.
Well,
honestly, who writes these questions?
You've got the answers in front of you.
What name do Scunthorpe, Southend and Rotherham all share?
United.
Come on.
They were hard tonight. They were tough tonight.
Honestly, who wrote these?
I think these have been like... this is a plot. It's a plot against me, this.
Come on, out of 1 to 10, how hard were your questions?
9.
Minus 9.
What was the last question for John?
John's last question was...
3.
As a player, Claude Puel made 488... 488 senior appearances for which French club?
The Garston Woodcutters.
Yeah, absolutely right. Correct, John. Well done.
Yeah.
I would have said either French club.
Yeah.
Be Lille or Lyon.
Montpellier or some. Or...
No, it was Monaco.
Monaco.
Yeah. I've asked producer Christian to put some more sort of, I don't know, World of Sport questions in next week.
Is that 4-1 to me now, yeah?
Yeah, something like that. Let's get back to the...
I want you to go back and check that now. I think it's 3-1.
You asking for VAR?
VAR. No. I used to be a fan of that till Chelsea last week and that offside goal that they didn't give. And that Kevin Friend, we haven't touched on him.
No.
I heard you wanted to be on Thursday. He's the worst
friend
referee. I call him Kevin Fiend, missed the R out. And he's the worst referee. And do you remember we've been commentating on him for years? And every time we used to see him, we used to go, no way. He must support Man United or Chelsea or someone like that when he was a kid. Because he hates Liverpool, him.
There you go.
All right. Everton fans?
I got that off my chest.
Let's talk about Everton with Bobby, our next caller on the Radio City Legends. Good evening, Bobby.
Good evening, lads.
Hi, right. Bob.
Hi, Bob.
I might be alone in this, but I think we go full strength tomorrow, Graham. I wouldn't understand what we're resting any players actually for.
Yeah, good point.
Four games from winning a tournament. Before, I might be wrong there.
No, good point.
Probably easier winning it than 38 games to finish in the top six.
Yeah, that's right. Good point, Bobby.
And what I'd say is year after year after year, we've got wise after the event and then realised the next day and gone in there. And I think it'll even be harder this year by the fact that if I was Southampton and you were under pressure at Goodison tomorrow with no extra time, you'd probably sit it out with 20 minutes to go and try and see the timeout. Something that I don't agree with, but that's what will happen. Go for the full strength, win the game and get an extra round.
Yeah, I think that's what we said, Bobby. Obviously not involved in European competition, so why not? You know, why not play your full side? And we've always said it time and time again, it builds up confidence. It's coming off the back of a result against Fulham, 3-0 at home. You want to keep building that confidence, going a win and run. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you, but I doubt if he will. I think he might look to give Baines, Bernard some game time because they will look at it and say, well, if they don't get game time there, they don't really get it in under-23s. When are they going to get it? But no, I agree with you. I would go strong.
Well, what I'd say, Graham, is if you've had five games since the last, like six games or what, since the end of last season, you're four games away from winning a trophy.
Yeah.
I don't quite get it, you know, and I think it could just change the complexion of our season if we went out tomorrow night and put a little bit of a damper on them. I don't know what they're resting them for. You've got a 2-week international gap after Saturday.
True. Yeah.
And, you know, let's give a bit of a momentum.
Yeah, good show.
You know? I think the quote the manager has made today is, it's important we start to have some sort of consistency in our starting 11.
Well, they are,
which might indicate there might be a few changes, but nothing like for the last round against Rotherham when they changed loads after the Bournemouth game.
Yeah.
Graham, just very quickly, both Mina and Gomez.
Yeah.
How did they get through medical?
I think Mina's one that... he was back training. He was looking to get in the game, and then I think he took a knock on the top of his foot in training, you know, which can happen, which I think has put him back. Gomez had a hamstring when he came. I think he was doing well. Then he had a setback as well. But, you know, with those injuries, sometimes in loan, Bob, you've got to take a chance. I think, you know, Mina will be back sooner rather than later. I think we'll see Gomez as well. And when we do, you know, I think there'll be big players for us. I think what I've heard so far about both of them is that they're showing up well when they've been training. Mina was that close to coming back, and it was just an innocuous challenge in training, which has put them out for a couple of weeks. But hopefully we'll get them back soon.
I think it's one area, isn't it, Graham? I felt we lacked on Saturday, particularly within the first half of central midfield.
Yes.
A little bit of... See, I think the priority during January, depending on how Gomez is, it's just as important, as I said all along, about the centre forward. You go to these big clubs away from home, you need a marauding central midfield player who will run the gaff.
Yeah, definitely.
That's something that we lack.
Yeah. Good shout, Bobby. Thank you very much indeed. Cheers. Excellent stuff. Let's finish with a red. Next up on the Radio City Legends, Benjamin. Evening, Ben.
Evening.
Hello, Ben.
Going through to Aldo and Sharpie. What do you want to talk about?
just with regards to the game coming up this week in Napoli, just with regards to... The thought I'm looking at it is I would take Henderson out and put Naby Keita in midfield to go for that energy away from home. I'm just wondering what the guys think with regards to that change in the lineup.
Yeah, well, we spoke about that earlier on with the previous caller. I think Keita will play. You know, he may rest Milner. He's played a lot of games, and not all of them, or Henderson. And it won't impede us in any way or form.
Well, Henderson hasn't played that much football, has
he? I know, he's closed him off a lot. I think he's still, you know, trying to nurture him after the World Cup, you know what I mean? So he's just trying to keep him, you know.
But some need it, some don't. Look at Eden Hazard.
Yeah,
at the
but
moment.
don't you think you see he needs football? But don't you think that's a risk as well? He hasn't played regularly, if you like, for Liverpool, and he's been in and out kind of thing. This is a big game for Liverpool. Yeah, this is Champions League. Yeah, this is what they've qualified for. So, you know, why would you take a risk and play? And I know what he's done in the past, but if he's not had up to the minute game time, you're taking a risk, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I think I tend to go with John. I think they might go as strong as they can be. I know the City game is there, but for me, at this stage, if Liverpool get a result in the Champions League away from home against Napoli, I think you can rub your hands and think, I'm going through kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So if they go to City and they get beat against City, or they don't do well, you've still got a long time in the...
There's a big dent in it,
But you've still got a long time to recoup that point, those points, if you like. It's a long season. I just think with the Champions League, I think it'd be a gamble.
I think you've got to take every game it comes, hasn't it? I just think, like, Keith is getting used to the, obviously, the pace of the Premiership. I think, you know, Europe, he could match like the likes of the Italian league, Serie A, you know, the German league he's played in, you know, Spain, to be fair, the way they play. He's just getting used to the tempo of England. But I think in Napoli, I think he could probably balance us up going forward a little bit better. But as Sharpie says, that the three lads, if you want to go strong in midfield at the moment with the experience, Wijnaldum, Henderson, Milner all day. And against Chelsea, you have to say they did really well. I think going forward, it could have been perhaps a little bit better at certain times because none of them really was threatening as an attacking force. But they played well, not knocking them. So I just think he might just take one of them, whether Henderson or Milner, and just say, well, look, you know, you're on the bench tonight. You're going to play the weekend. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he went, you know, the same team as Chelsea. It wouldn't surprise me the same part.
You confident, Benjamin, for midweek?
Yeah, I'm confident. I think if they can get the result, I think basically first place will be tied up quite soonish. No disrespect to Red Star Belgrade, but I see 6 points in those two games and qualified by about the PSG game away from home.
You'd like to think, you know, you don't see nothing for granted, but you look at Red Star, they're in the D group, weren't they? You know, and obviously the. Years ago, they had some team, didn't they? Sharpie had some great teams over the years. But you'd like to think over two legs, we can hopefully take the 6 points there without taking it for granted. But you've got to, as I said before, you've got to try and keep the pressure on Paris and try and go there and get a point, which hopefully would be the point that, you know, gets us the first place. It's important, you know, not to have to go to the likes of Barcelona, you know, or Juventus, you know, Madrid, you know, the next round, give yourself a chance by finishing first.
Benjamin, anything to finish off with?
Just with regards to the Salah thing, I mean, people are talking about him being out of form. I think he's still recovering from his injury. I'm just wondering what the guys think, obviously, being centre-forwards in the past, if he's still in that process of basically getting back to being match fit.
30 seconds, guys. Is he still worried about his shoulder?
We don't know, do we? There's something mentally going on. It could be his shoulder, it could be, you know... He never even got on that UEFA side, the European side. What's that all about? He never got on the side. They give him a trophy for scoring a goal.
A goal against Everton.
He's going to rant again.
He's scored 47 goals in the hardest league in the world. He couldn't get in the team. And then also they put a goalkeeper in De Gea in the team. And Kvassier, whatever his name is.
That's a good brand.
He's got the best keeper in the world.
That's a brand.
I have them. What's his name? Kurtosh. It's a load of crap, isn't it? There's a load of crap. All right, thanks very much for counselling me, fellas.
Boys, thank you very much for your company. That was the Radio City Legends. John's leaving with a hot head. We'll see you again on Thursday night, right here, Mega Day.